Aloha, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Absolutely Necessary. I am Logan Tracy, and in studio today, three pretty okay gentlemen, Jacob Masick, Jackson Layer, and Joseph Pellegrini.
I'm offended.
Was I right?
No. Yes, you were good.
Was I close?
No.
Welcome, Joseph.
That's not your job.
But yes, Joseph was on the show with us last Thursday, and I thought it went well, so we invited him back. Because, you know, he's our residential basketball expert.
Expert. Asterisk next to the expert.
Yes, a big, like, in parentheses, expert.
Expert.
But yeah, you know more about basketball than a lot of people, I'd say, and hopefully. You're pretty fun to do a show with, so...
Yeah.
Let's just jump right into it, because very big, important basketball things happened today on the very big and important NBA basketball trade deadline. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go through every deal, regardless of how dumb it is.
Or important.
Or how important it is. We're going to go through everything that's happened since the date I assigned, which was February 3rd. I don't think we've talked about a trade since then, so... Lots of things happened. Are you guys ready to jump right into it?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Sir, I am offended. And actually, before we jump into it, I want to read an email. Because we got an email from our friend Dan.
We got mail.
Our friend Dan asking us, do you think Kyler Murray is going to choose football or baseball? And which sport should he choose and why? We've talked about that.
Are we sure that was Dan?
Yes.
So we know the person who emailed us.
Yes.
One, it says his name in it. Two, he came up to me today and said, "Hey, I sent the show an email." So we have talked about that question on the show a lot before, so I won't mention it. But I will take that time to point out that Kyler Murray did announce today that he is going to the NFL Combine, mm-hmm. which doesn't mean he's playing one way or the other, but it is important to note that he is doing that, as we thought. Also, other important news before we start, Zach Britton changed his legal spelling of his name from Z-A-C-H to Z-A-C-K, so congratulations on that, Zach. Thank you for... We are proud of you and your courage.
A true hero.
True American hero and patriot.
That's all about it.
All right, no, let's get into the trades for real now. Let me take you back to February 3rd, the year of our Lord, 2018 years more. The Portland Trailblazers made a little trade with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Rodney Hood went from Cleveland to Portland, and in exchange, the Cavaliers received Nick Stauskas, Wade Baldwin, the 5th, the 7th? I don't know what IV is. I don't know what Roman numerals.
Isn't Nick Stauskas the 4th?
I don't know what Nick Stauskas is. Wade Baldwin is. It's Wade Baldwin the 6th, I think.
The 6th.
Wade Baldwin the 6th. And a 2021 and 2023 second round picks.
Fifth?
What do y'all think
fourth.
Of that?
It's Wade Baldwin.
That's pretty
the
cool.
That's awesome.
Is it the 4th?
It's
the 4th.
Yeah.
Wade Baldwin the 4th.
Oh, yeah.
And two second round
can
picks.
Can we zoom out quick for a second? Nick Stauskas was traded more times this trade deadline than the Rams scored points.
He was traded.
Except...
So was Wade Baldwin. But
we're gonna follow the odyssey of Wade Baldwin and
yes.
Nick Stauskas throughout the entire show.
Yeah, we will be following Sauce and Baldwin throughout the show. That's his nickname, Jackson.
Any actual points to add to this, or is it just kind of a thing
it's
that
a,
happened?
It's a
like,
salary
hey.
Cap for pick slots,
yeah.
Honestly. So they're just dumping cap room for picks. So,
I mean, Rodney Hood... He'll help the Trailblazers.
Oh, he will, but, well, they're still getting Ronnie Hood in return. I was talking about the Cavaliers in terms
Cavaliers
of contracts. They're getting way less contracts. The Cavaliers are freeing up cap space, whereas the Trailblazers are looking for that extra piece out there. I think Ronnie Hood is great. What they decide to do, I think he'll probably come off the bench. I'm not completely sure what they are trying to do there, but no matter what he does, I think he's super athletic and really underrated. So I think he'll help the Blazers a lot more than those two were helping the Blazers. Right. So makes
then
sense.
We had a very quiet February 4th, a Monday. February 5th, Absolutely Necessary came out with its Tuesday episode. If you haven't checked that out, feel free to go check that out. Or don't. It's a free country. Later that night, February 5th, we had our next little piece of trade action. The Lakers getting a bench piece. The Lakers trade Zvi Mykhailiuk.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
To the Pistons, and the Lakers in exchange, I believe, received a second round pick and Reggie Bullock.
You like that, Joseph?
I love that.
Yeah?
Love it.
Love it. Yeah. Talk to us about Reggie Bullock real fast.
Reggie Bullock, he averages 12.1 points per game on 39.3% shooting from the 3-point line. So he's 3-and-D player.
He's having a really good year, is what Joseph's trying to say, and the Lakers made a good move. They may not have Anthony Davis, but they got him, and they got Mike Muscala. Sorry, that's a spoiler. We'll save that one for later. But
the only thing that Steele was giving to them really was that 3-point shot, and he was pretty trash at it anyway. So
what trash?
Pretty trash.
Svi Mykhailiuk has potential, and the Lakers need
potential,
now.
But for right now, it's
the Lakers
trash.
Need now and for the next 3 years, practically. So Reggie Bullock's the best.
Reggie Bullock's a shooter. Reggie Bullock. He's not related to
Sage. Sounds like the Balrog from Lord of the Rings.
Anyway, he's a solid fit next to LeBron, isn't he? Right?
You shall not pass.
I don't think he will ever sit next to LeBron.
No one's ever sitting next to LeBron again.
No one's ever sitting next to LeBron.
You saw the video.
Yeah,
you all saw the video, and if you didn't, look it up.
And real fast, before we move on from this trade that we touched on quickly, I'd like to point out that my mistake, I had the second round pick going the wrong way in it. So the Pistons received Svi Mykhailiuk and a second round pick, and the Lakers got Reggie Bullock. So February 6th opens up, and we're thinking the big deal is going to be Anthony Davis. And then pretty much out of nowhere, Philadelphia assembled a little super team. I mean, they had their big three, and they got their fourth piece. So, obviously, the biggest trade, probably the most surprising trade of the deadline, was the 76ers trading the Clippers for Tobias Harris. So, the way that deal looks is the Sixers get Tobias Harris, Boban Marjanovic, so Bobby and Toby can stay together.
You're kidding.
And Mike Scott.
Who is obviously the most important part of the trade.
Mike Scott, not Michael Scott from The Office, sadly. If not, that would require at least another first-round draft pick. The Clippers, in exchange, get Landry Shamet.
Oh, jeez.
Who cares? He's from Wichita State. Wilson Chandler, Mike Muscala, and four picks, two first-rounders, the 76ers 2020 pick, and a pretty valuable Heat 2021 first-round pick, and then just a 2021-2023 second-round draft picks there. But break down this deal. Just one of you guys start talking about it.
Yeah, I'll start this out. Tobias Harris.
Someone talk.
I'm actually really impressed with this on both sides. I think that each team got what they wanted right now. 76ers clearly trying to make a playoff push. That like something, a team trying to contend with the Warriors and their hot streak, and the Bucks also becoming very, very elite. I think that that's a very good move for the 76ers. And, continuing forth to the other side of things with the Clippers, I think they got some really good future picks, and they got really good return off of it. Oh my gosh, Jacob. Will you...
Keep talking. I'm just looking at some trades. It's okay. Yeah.
But yeah, no. Nope, I'm done talking.
Is that really how we're going to run the show today?
Yeah.
Joseph, what are your thoughts on everything that has happened to you with the 76ers and Clippers?
I thought it was great. I think it was obvious that the Clippers made it clear that they don't really care at a playoff
run.
They don't care about a playoff run this year.
If they can still make it.
You think they're in a good spot? They were projected to be like an 8th seed this year with him, and now without him, it's kind of far-fetched.
Yeah, it's a good trade.
Yeah, and I don't think they would be satisfied with just an 8th seed and then being out in the first round. So, and they weren't going to re-sign him in the offseason, so they figured might as well just get something for him. And then they gained a lot of young pieces, freed up a lot of cap space. They traded away Bradley later on, so they could...
Spoilers!
If they trade away Gallinari... Oh, well, they can't anymore. But if they were to, they could have freed up 75.
They could trade Gallinari in the offseason. Maybe he's a potential one that moves.
Okay.
If they freed up 75 million.
So, Joseph, I have a question for you. And why I would say the Sixers get an average trade grade on this one is because they're taking a huge risk.
Yes.
Do you think they'll be able to re-sign both of them?
Didn't they? By both of them,
I mean Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris.
I know Tobias Harris wants his money, and that was the risk, was that it was that and how he was going to work with them. Some people were saying that he's going to work well because he's a really good shooter, and Embiid can dish it to him and Butler. But people are saying that he also likes to be the star of a franchise and that he wants the ball in his hand, so he might not even resign.
So here's what I want to say. The Sixers have burned through Robert Covington, Dario Saric, Landry Shamet, 2 first-round picks, and 3 second-rounders to, in the end, bring Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Will it be worth it by the end of their time?
Just
will it be worth it?
I think it depends on how far they get into the playoffs.
So you think they're going to re-sign?
I think so.
I think Tobias Harris will re-sign with the 76ers, and I think that's a done deal. I think Jimmy Butler is the one we have to watch. I think he's always been out for himself, and honestly, I don't think he would be great in this 4-player offense. He's already having issues in it, and he's had issues in it. He likes his post-ups, and he likes to have the ball right where he wants it. And in this offense, Embiid is the one who gets the post-ups, not Jimmy mid-range post-ups. It's more of Embiid getting most of the ball down low, and Simmons likes to have the ball in his hands most of the possession and get other people open and do his work, and I just think Jimmy's not that great built into this team, which they're hoping Harris will take. For the Clippers, this is an amazing trade. He's going to be a free agent. They would have had to pay him, and they also made another trade later that we'll talk about that was also a great trade in terms of the same decision. You're right. They're not going to make they were going to make the playoffs probably, but didn't have a great future. They have great building blocks, and they're already a fringe playoff contender with the people they have.
I gave them an A-minus on this trade.
I gave them an A.
Whoa.
They passed the class.
One thing that will be kind of lost in the shuffle with this trade, but is important to note from a standpoint, is that the
Boban.
Clippers...
No,
Wilson.
Oh.
The Clippers probably just got themselves their first-round pick back. So Boston has the rights to that pick, but I believe it's lottery-protected.
Yes.
And as it stands, Boston was due to get that pick, but it looks like if everything goes as projected and the Clippers drop out of the playoffs, Boston will not receive that pick anymore.
Thank goodness.
So that is portion of that trade that should be noted that robs Boston of a potential asset, or at least lessens the value of that asset.
Yeah.
I guess with the bigger trades, what we'll do here is we'll decide who we think won the deal. So we'll go around and you guys get to pick a winner. So we'll start with Jackson and go back around. Who do you think won this deal, Philadelphia or the Clippers?
I think right now, with the risk that's attached to Tobias Harris and how he'll cohesively be effective in this offense of ball needing carriers, I'm gonna have to go with the Clippers winning this trade because of the fact that now they're actually doing something right with this franchise. They're trying to rebuild, not retool like they've been doing, get some young pieces with those draft picks. I really like the chances that Clippers have, especially with their high draft pick that they'll have this year if they keep tanking. I really think the Clippers ran away with this.
Taking is a big accusation there.
Well, I think that they have nothing else to live for right now. So I think
to live for.
They'll try this.
You saying that like the organization?
You just jumped to tanking, which is purposely trying to lose.
Lou Williams about
to
have
them
game.
Trying to kill themselves.
Whoa.
Nope, did not say that at all. So you
okay, we were just making a joke, but you took it way too far.
I think you took it way too far.
Hold up there, man.
Okay.
Joseph?
Okay. I think that I'm going to give it to the Clippers only because, yeah, like Jackson said, Landry Shamet is a super young, really promising-looking player, and they were able to get him along with first-round picks without having to give up any of their other young pieces like Montrezl Harrell and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think there's a lot of risk with the Sixers in taking him. It could go either way, but for right now, I'd give it to the Clippers.
Jacob?
Clippers, easy money. Sixers could win this trade depending on how the risk pans out, but in terms of right now, if we're talking viability that I see for the rest of the, in the current future, I'm going with Clippers.
Also, they're a very high market team, and with that much cap space, they can easily they can be a contender.
Opened up one, if
yeah, if
two,
we if anything, we're going to talk about the most. We're going to talk about free agency the most in terms of a lot of these trades. A lot of these trades are for cap space.
They could be an easy playoff team by next year.
I guess I'll have to sit in the minority here. I'm going to go with the team that made a gutsy championship move. I'm going with the 76ers here. I know there are concerns about how Tobias Harris fits in there, but Tobias Harris isn't a ball-stopping player. He knows how to move the ball. He's a good shooter, solid rebounder for someone his size. I think he's going to slide into that lineup well because Tobias Harris isn't a selfish player.
No.
He's going to get his touches, and he'll be happy with it, but he's more likely to do anything to help this team win a championship. And if I learned anything at this deadline, I think Elton Brand is far and away the front runner for executive of the year now. So I'm going to give it to the 76ers for now, but I don't think there's a real loser in this trade.
They're trying to challenge the Warriors.
I mean, they got to challenge the East first. They're the fourth seed right now.
True.
All right, moving on a little bit after that. We had a young player swap between the Pistons and the Bucks. Get a couple of players change the scenery. So Stanley Johnson, the wing from the Detroit Pistons, and Thon Maker, big man from the Milwaukee Bucks, switch teams. Obviously, Stanley Johnson will come up later, so we won't talk too much about him in this exchange. But what do you guys think of the Pistons getting Thon Maker?
Thon Maker wanted out of Milwaukee. They had to trade him. People are making way too much of the fact that Giannis said he's missing a good friend or whatever he said, that he's going to be fine. Thon Maker needed a place where he would play and develop. He's actually had he's not jumping out statistically, but that's just because of the low minutes. He's been extremely efficient in minutes played, and I think this is why this is a good trade for the Pistons. And the thing for the Bucks is he didn't want to stay there, so they had to do something.
Yeah, and the Bucks got a really good return in it, too. I got Nikola Mirotic.
Spoilers! What did I tell you about spoilers?
Well, we actually should just tie them
no
together.
No one knows what's happening. We're hearing this for the first time.
Honestly, we should just tie them together because it's like almost a three-team trade. They kind of just.
I mean, it did get looped together later, but I'm doing it in order of when things came out, you know, news-wise.
Joe.
I'm walking you back through the experience like it's happening in front of you.
Joe, didn't Thon Maker have a really good year last year, too?
Excuse me, Joe?
Thon Maker had a good year last year.
He's grown leaps and bounds.
Yeah, he's...
But
since people thought he was a 40-year-old.
And then he jumped and kicked that guy in the face during the EuroLeague.
I remember that. That was legendary.
That's a crazy
stand
video.
Up for your teammates, literally. Fly
That's
for your teammates.
That's the epitome of standing up for your teammates. Yeah. Is Thon Maker, like, the last person you'd want to get drop-kicked by? Besides, like, any professional goalie?
I don't know, he looks kind of thin.
He's on, like, a 12,000-calorie diet or something.
Oh, he's
what?
Dude. He's freaky strong, man.
Holy crap! All right.
I
take it back.
Well, just because he has a diet doesn't mean he's not thin.
I don't know. Would you rather be drop kicked by Giannis?
No. Nope. I'll take Thon.
Yeah.
He's got power.
Giannis
legs.
Is a unit.
Okay. Have you ever seen Giannis's legs?
Bro, Giannis is skinny though.
What?
Giannis is skinny.
Giannis is not.
Like, he's built,
bro.
But he's skinny.
No, he is not anymore.
He's ripped. He was skinny.
He was. He's not.
He's ripped now, but he's also like still kind of skinny at the same time.
No, he is.
His arms. He's got lengthy arms. He makes him look like it.
I'm telling you, he is no longer skinny.
Giannis
he's
looks
he's
like a scarecrow kind of turned into a human, and then the scarecrow gained like 60 pounds and has rippling abs, and
he's gone up 30 pounds since this man came into the league.
All right, let's move on.
Yeah,
we got a little off topic there.
So let's see here. Let me look at when he first came into the league.
Nobody's talking about that
anymore.
He
looked like a child when he came into the league.
And now he's a man. He's a real man.
Yeah, he's huge.
The Suns did a little deal here. The Miami Heat. I'm making y'all move on. Stop looking at pictures of Giannis Antetokounmpo. So yeah, the stop singing. Why are you singing?
Sorry, I didn't know.
Alright, we're good. Welcome. Actually, you know what? Let's go to the Suns trade. I'm really interested in this. I know we were talking about Giannis, but you know.
You're right. Yeah, my bad. I apologize. Let's go to the Suns trade.
Actually, I was talking about Giannis, but...
Yeah, you were.
Yeah.
You're right. I'm sorry that you're such a distraction. Suns.
I apologize for that, by the way.
The Suns traded Ryan Anderson to the Heat in a total, just, it's a salary move. Mm-hmm. And in return, they received Tyler Johnson, who they're looking at keeping. Yep. He'll play some time at the point and get Devin Booker off the one. And Wayne Ellington, who they are immediately cutting. Yep. So
God, he never even showed up.
Oh, yeah, they're immediately cutting him because he does not want to play for a bad team, which he's a good fit on a championship team, but I guess Ryan Anderson's kind of a non-factor in this deal. We know what we're getting from him. I'd say break down Tyler Johnson, maybe. What value does he have for the Suns?
I think he just has the ability to fill out their backcourt. Because right now they just really have Booker, and he's been having a good year. And with Anderson has, what, $15 million guaranteed? And Tyler has, like, 19. So I feel like they just figured we're going to pay anyone, pay the young guy with more potential that could develop into something rather than 30-year-old Ryan Anderson.
All right, and I guess before we move on, what teams are a good fit for Wayne Ellington when we expect he enters the buyout market?
There's one obvious one.
The Warriors.
That is actually not what I was going to say.
But so I guess there's two obvious ones then.
He wants to win a championship.
What I would like to say is a team that I thought would keep Nick Stauskas in the consecutive trades that he was traded in was the Houston Rockets. Because I believe they're missing Trevor Ariza still from last year. He was a great small forward piece. And I would say Wayne Ellington is a prospect to go there. Of course, we have the Golden State Warriors. But who knows? And we have the Los Angeles Lakers, who just opened up another roster spot.
Spoilers!
Actually, no, not spoilers.
Kind of a spoiler.
You asked me who he might go to.
I said kind of.
Those are three teams, but the Lakers have some kind of reports with Carmelo Anthony, so I would go with the Rockets here on this one. Rockets need that player. Wayne Ellington was 3-point contest last year. Shoots at a very high efficiency. I would go Wayne Ellington. Houston Rockets.
All right. Then after that, biggest deal of the deadline here, the Toronto Raptors made a little trade with the Philadelphia 76ers, and the 76ers acquired Malachi Richardson, the draft rights to Amir Preldžić, and draft considerations, and the Raptors got cold, hard cash in return. It's they're dumping a player. Malachi Richardson opens up a spot if they want to get a player on the buyout market. The draft considerations are nice, and this Amir guy, I've never heard of him, and we'll never hear from him again.
Who?
He will,
Amir
Preldžić?
Oh, it's the rights to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, we said that, but you've never heard of him. He's in Europe, and he'll most likely never make an impact.
He's going to be better than Luka Doncic.
That's a fat lie, because no one in the history of the NBA ever has been or will be. Yes.
Okay, don't ever say that again. That is seriously disrespectful to say no one as we were well rebelled. I can't even say it because I'm so angry at this point.
And I can because I'm so serious when I say it. I meant every word. All right. So a move of actual note that happened next later on the 6th of February is the Chicago Bulls finally got to move Jabari Parker, something that they've been rumored to do for a while. And in another surprise move for themselves, the Chicago Bulls got Otto Porter. So the whole deal consists...
So what you mean there is the Bulls surprised themselves and ended up with Otto Porter.
The Bulls surprised everyone and themselves. The full details of the trade, the Washington Wizards get Jabari Parker, Bobby Portis, and a second-round pick in 2023. Got to stack those 2023 second-round picks up. Mm-hmm. And the Bulls get Otto Porter. Did anybody else find this deal strange? Because I found it very strange, kind of for both sides.
No, I actually did not. And why that is, Jabari Parker has done nothing. And when I mean nothing, I mean literally nothing on defense and made a couple buckets on offense. But
14 points.
He's done nothing other than become Zach LaVine's friend, apparently, is all the reports I've seen.
He gets paid $20 million to be Zach LaVine's friend.
He's Zach LaVine's friend. Same with did you mention Bobby Portis?
Yeah, he did.
My opinion, Bobby Portis is the best return in this trade. I know Jabari could develop and be that player that he was looking like in that first year with the the Milwaukee Bucks. And they wanted him to be that player alongside Giannis. But I would say in this case, not a bad return. I think Bobby Portis is going to be a solid player, if anything. And I think Jabari Parker still has that potential. I view him as an Andrew Wiggins type of player. Just someone who doesn't play as well on defense.
Otto Porter?
No.
He's talking about Jabari.
Yeah. Okay. And likes to shoot jumpers on offense, which he's going to have to get past because he's a bigger guy. He's going to have to get inside to make some buckets. And Bobby Portis, is I think he's a solid player.
Solid.
Bobby Portis is on the last year of his rookie deal. I don't know if he stays there.
He does not.
And nor does Jabari Parker.
He's restricted.
So they can match, but they don't have to. Match.
They were saying that they're going to let Jabari walk, and then they'll keep Bobby.
If that's the plan. And then, obviously, the
Jabari
second
has a team option, correct?
Yeah.
For $20 million?
He'll be unrestricted in 2020.
Yeah, they're going to let
so
him go
Joe,
next this offseason.
Joe, can you break down Otto Porter Jr.'s fit
break
on the Chicago
down.
Bulls?
Yeah, people were saying that I also agree. He'll be a solid player. Right now, he's only averaging like 36 from three, but usually he averages in the 40s. He's a great 3-and-D player, again, that the Bulls really need help on, especially on the defensive end. And Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker, I've been saying for a while, were completely unnecessary pieces because they have like four power forwards, because they had those two, and then they had Lauri Markkanen, and then they drafted Wendell Carter.
Not to mention the GOAT, Robin Lopez.
And the GOAT, Robin Lopez.
Who is currently discussing a buyout, but...
So they got rid of them. The only thing I was thinking was, did the Wizards get enough for the trade, though? Because for Otto Porter's potential to just get a player that's going to walk and then a decent player in Bobby Portis, was it really enough?
When a lot of trades like that come out, I think when people immediately think, did they get enough? They should look and reevaluate how much value the player truly has. Otto Porter isn't a bad player. He's still a young player, but he's signed to a contract that overpays him considering what he brings to the table and what he's worth. So I don't think it was more of, did they get enough? I think it was kind of, they got what they could get. And it's really just a move to open up some salary cap, get them further away from the luxury tax. Otto Porter's probably worth more than a throwaway 1-year contract, a decent bench player, and a second round pick.
Yeah.
But with his contract and the current state of the market, that's what they got for him.
But, yeah. Also, I don't think the Bulls had very much depth at the small forward. Who's the small forward right now is, what, Denzel Valentine? And he's hurt?
I think, yeah.
So, for the Bulls, that's a good pickup just because they don't have anyone else, really.
I suppose the part of the deal that threw me off a little bit was the salary cap for the Bulls. The Bulls cut their salary cap, or their projected salary cap, for the offseason almost in half and lost the ability to offer a max contract. I think the fact that they made the trade is telling that they were not planning on offering a max contract, but at the same time, they have him for 2 more years. So it kind of shows you their plan a bit more, that they want to try to build around this team and this core before they start getting max players.
Yeah.
Moving on, we have the second step, or the second chapter, in the odyssey of Nick Buckets Stauskas and Wade Baldwin IV. The Rockets, Cavaliers, and Kings pull a little 3-team trade here. The Rockets get Iman Shumpert, who's a top 10 NBA rapper, Nick Stauskas and Wade Baldwin. The Cavaliers received Brandon Knight, Marquise Chris, and the Rockets lottery protected, so it's basically theirs, 2019 first round pick, and the Kings get a little Alec Burks in their life. What do we think about Iman Shumpert to the Rockets? Is he a solid bench piece they're looking for? Decent Trevor Ariza replacement?
No. He's not a Trevor Ariza replacement.
Why do you love Trevor Ariza so much?
Trevor Ariza was great.
Everybody loves Trevor Ariza.
Trevor Ariza was great.
He's
on
got
the
a
Rockets,
great personality.
And the Rockets had pursued him very hard in free agency, but could not come up to the price he wanted. Trevor Ariza wanted to get paid. So, Iman Shumpert, is a solid bench piece, you're correct. He gets paid a lot, I'm pretty sure, so that was an unload of some cap space.
11 million.
Yeah, an unload of cap space that they could absorb. And I just think they're looking for shooting. You know, Harden does so much that anybody who can shoot off the ball is valuable to the Houston Rockets.
That's fair. I like this from a Cavaliers standpoint as well. The Kings really didn't do much in this deal. They just swapped Iman Shumpert for Alec Burks, which they're similar players.
Pretty much the same.
Putting up similar stats, yeah. I believe, so not much changes there. But the Cavaliers have done a very good job.
Same salary.
Why did you whisper cap space? They're about the same. I think they're both on
they're both
1 year.
They're both $11 million unrestricted since 2019.
I think Alec Burks is a more off-the-ball shooter than Iman Shumpert.
He has a better percentage.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're similar style players, I'm saying. But Cleveland did a great job, not just with this deal, but with a lot of the deals they've made during the year and at the deadline of acquiring first-round picks.
Can you hear that again? You said Cleveland did a great job?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Cleveland did a great job of...
That's been a while before they've done that.
Can you stop interrupting me? Cleveland did a great job of acquiring picks that they sorely needed in the post-LeBron era. This trade is one of the better ones. They're... most likely, barring the end of the world as we know it, going to get this Rockets pick. And a player at the back of the 20s is a decent asset for them. A team that really needs him and doesn't have a lot of picks. So I like this deal. Any last thoughts on it before we move on?
Yeah, I think Marquese Chris, he showed a lot of potential in Phoenix when he first played. And then ever since then, he hasn't been getting the minutes he's needed. So I think... hopefully Cavaliers will give him an opportunity to really prove what he actually has.
All right. We'll go on to, I don't know, how to describe this trade, really. I guess, in some people's view, the most disrespectful of the trades. The Mavericks and the Kings pulled a little swap. Harrison Barnes goes to Sacramento in the middle of the Dallas Mavericks game, and the Mavericks, in return, get Justin Jackson and Zach Randolph, who is in the process of being bought out as well, so he can go to a contender. My first question, I don't know if you guys saw what LeBron James posted on Instagram, but he was saying that it was disrespectful of them to trade him while he was in the middle of a game.
Actually, that's not the point he was making.
What was the point he was making?
He was not saying it's disrespectful to trade him mid-game. He's saying call what he ended with was call a spade a spade. If it's a business, it goes both ways. Harrison Barnes was informed before the game that he was being shopped and there was a trade negotiations going on. He himself, they asked him, and he said, I want to play.
Okay.
So Harrison Barnes chose to play in that game.
All right.
It's the narrative you're getting. And what LeBron's saying is, if we're going to call it business, it should be business on both sides. And when a player leaves for his own business interests, the fans should not be attacking him personally for doing that. That's the point booze? LeBron's making.
I don't think he was getting booed.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to lie.
He was on the bench and he was traded.
I'm not going to lie. LeBron posts a lot on social media and it's really hard for me to follow all of it from a standpoint of I just don't care what's going on in his Instagram. So I got a very back channel version of that news. Is Harrison Barnes a good fit in Sacramento for a team that's on the edge of playoff contention? I think they're actually the 8th seed, if I'm correct.
I think they're a bit higher.
They're either the 8th seed or...
they're a bit
seven.
Higher than that. I thought they
or
were.
Or I think they're the team that's like just out. They're the
sixth?
Team that's just out.
Sixth.
Let me see.
No, six.
Anyway, we've halted the show to all look up whether or not the Kings are in the playoffs for the first time since, I don't know, 2002, 2003.
Yeah,
it's
been a while.
It might be the longest streak in basketball if I'm remembering correctly.
The Kings are 9.
I thought so. The Kings are right out of it, but they're in the thick of things.
If they continue to win and they have the Lakers behind them and the Mavericks, which is going to be tough.
The Clippers are going to start losing.
It's going to be tough because we got Clippers, Kings, Lakers, Mavericks, Timberwolves. Clippers, I assume, will drop out. We got 4 people under 8, so that are looking,
all right, that's fair.
Looking up.
Yeah.
But what's Harrison Barnes is fit in Sacramento. Is it a good fit? What do you think about him? Don't all answer at once again, please.
Yeah, I think it's a good fit. If you look at their starting five, now they got Fox, who's going to be a perennial all-star, I'm pretty sure. They got Buddy Hield, who's solid. And then they add Harrison Barnes. And then you have Marvin Bagley. And who starts for them at now at center? Willie Cauley-Stein?
Correct.
Because they got rid of him. Yeah. So that's a solid starting five that will probably make the
playoffs. Oh, and if you wanted to know, Kostas Koufos is their backup?
He was born on my birthday, you know that?
He's got a cool name.
He does.
That's the best thing I can say about Kostas.
Kostas Koufos, yeah. Yeah, so I think he fits in well.
All right. Jackson, you've been quiet.
No, I don't really have much to say. I mean, all the points that they're making are valid. And I don't know how Harrison Barnes, how he's been doing recently, but he's been a solid role player.
He gets paid too much for what he's doing.
A good veteran presence for a team that
needs
to like recuperate a little bit before the All-Star break. And we'll see how Harrison responds to it, especially through the controversy that's been going through him. So.
You're right. I mean, I wouldn't say it. Controversy is a weird word to describe it, but I get what you're trying to say.
Right.
He's not a great fit in Dallas, and it's clearly the Luka show there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a better fit for him in Sacramento, and he is a player that with the Warriors has been there before.
Yeah.
So it's a good fit for a team that's clearly trying to push for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Are the Mavericks making space to sign someone in free agency then?
With them cutting
they need the space.
Randolph. Are with them buying him out. They get Justin Jackson, so it turns to a one-for-one swap. But I believe they have to sign a couple of players, or have signed a couple of players, because of the Porzingis trade.
Well, we are now 2 hours out from the trade deadline, as it is. And some of these cap spaces might not be for a free agency. It might be for something called the buyout market. Some people aren't familiar with that as much. A lot of veterans, like we talked about Wayne Ellington earlier, don't like to be on losing teams, obviously. They need to win a ring at this point in their career, or they want to win rings. So they'll go to a team for less money since they've been bought out for all their contracts. So they already got their contract for that year or most of it. So they'll go for less to other teams. So we should watch some of those players go to contenders here.
Right.
So some of these guys might be just making room, like Joseph mentioned before.
Mm-hmm. Right. So moving on to the next deal that happened late that night on... Yesterday night, the Wizards and the Pelicans did a little swap for some bench players. The Wizards got Wesley Johnson, and the Pelicans received Markieff Morris, one of the Morris twins, and a second-round pick in 2023, which 2023 second-round picks are apparently the most valuable thing you can get because they're flying all over the place. Is this is just kind of a salary dump? Is there really anything to report here?
Not really. I don't know what the Wizards are trying to do. It's just kind of odd because they got in return for Markieff Morris, who in my opinion is a solid role player. He's averaging 11 a game. For someone like Wesley Johnson, who is pretty much the infant of the NBA. He's the floor mat.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. Did you just...
He's awful. I don't see any plus side from it except for maybe a little bit of... freeing up cap space. Not even that much.
We're sorry, Wesley Johnson, if you ever want to come on
Wesley
the show.
Wesley Johnson isn't watching this.
Well, you don't watch this. This is not... Also, email us if you would like this to become a YouTube channel so you can watch our reactions. Because there's some crazy stuff that goes on in here.
And we have crazy reactions.
That was the sound of Jacob's reaction.
So, yep, nothing. Nothing. We just all hate Wesley Johnson.
The
That's
Wizard,
what anybody learned from
no
this
No one knows what the Wizards are doing is what we know.
Yeah.
They're dumb. Their management is being dumb.
Yeah, they're giving up.
But mainly, we hate Wesley Johnson.
Yeah, pretty much.
But mainly,
want him
I
to come
do not
on the show,
hate on anybody.
But we hate him.
Hate is a strong, strong word. And strong.
I didn't say I hate him. I said he's the floor man of the NBA.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true. Okay. Fine. He
All
did
right.
not say he hated him.
Yeah.
So that concludes yesterday. And then February 7th, today is the day. We're counting down every one of these trades. We're getting closer to the trade deadline. Everything that happened today. And it started out with a bang. The 76ers received James Ennis from the Rockets for draft considerations. So yeah, that happened. Ain't that cool?
Yeah.
I guess what do we say about James Ennis? Decent bench player?
Yeah.
Barely, yeah.
Barely. I do like how the 76ers made a ton of moves, and I really like just they're filled out their bench. They gave up a lot in that, obviously, that Tobias Harris trade, so
yeah.
James Ennis is a decent bench player.
Yeah.
All right. Now getting to trades with real implications. The Milwaukee Bucks made their move. They obviously had to respond because of a lot of what was happening. Teams making plays around them. They had to get an impact player. So they got Nikola Mirotic from the Pelicans. This deal turned into a three-team trade with the Pistons with what happens. It later obviously turned into that. But the Bucks get Nikola Mirotic. The Pistons still get Thonmaker. And the Pelicans get Jason Smith, Stanley Johnson, and assorted second-round draft picks, none of which were in 2023.
Wow.
How do you think Nikola Mirotic fits on the Milwaukee Bucks? Jackson, is that you?
It's a good addition.
Words?
No, sorry. It's a good addition for the Bucks to get like another big man, especially power forward. To help Giannis at least like spread out the inside. So, I mean, honestly, I've never been too high on Mirotic. I've never been too popular. He's never been popular, in my opinion. So, like...
Ouch.
Yeah.
I guess...
Tell that to Nikola Mirotic.
Sorry, bro.
He's been injured for a while, hasn't he?
I mean...
Yeah, which
he's a good,
and he's a nerd, so we can't be popular.
He's a good starter. I mean, if the Bucks are wanting to get him... he's a good size. He's good inside presence and rebounding, so... That's all I gotta say about him. Joseph?
Who's going to be their... He's not going to be the starter, right? Brook Lopez is still going to be their starter.
He'll come off the bench. I think he profiles as a power forward center. He's good at stretching the floor.
Usually power forward.
Shooter.
Yeah, it's power forward.
I think it's a great trade. Joseph, what do you think?
I want to hear what you think, Jason.
Okay, here's what I think. and why I think this is a good trade is because I believe, like I've argued before many times with people, that the Milwaukee Bucks made a great move this year in some of the acquisitions they made to stretch the floor, especially with Brook Lopez. I think another big that will help stretch the floor, including they already have Ersan Ilyasova, who they're going to use down low most of the time now because of Thonmaker's exit. They're also going to lean on DJ Wilson, and I think Nikola Mirotic provides them with... less minutes to be given to DJ Wilson, because as of right now, how they were looking after the Thonmaker trade was DJ Wilson was going to have to step up in a huge manner, but now this limits the workload on him and lets him develop more slowly, whereas Nikola Mirotic comes in as an experienced player and honestly a great three-point shooter. He shoots very well from three and will extend the floor pretty well. He's been playing really well recently for the Pelicans, but he's on an expiring contract, and I think this is the right kind of guy the Bucks could get in, because Milwaukee Bucks are pushing for NBA Finals appearance, and this is a big move towards it.
Yeah, it's definitely true. Just a great acquisition by the Bucks, and good on the Pelicans to get some decent return for a player on an expiring contract. Next up, we have the Houston Rockets dumping more money and more players.
Can they dump some money on me, too?
The Houston Rockets traded Nick Stauskas, Wade Baldwin the fourth, a second-round pick, and some of that sweet, sweet moolah to the Indiana Pacers. And the Rockets got under the luxury tax. And that's kind of what happened for them. But shortly after this deal, it was announced that the Pacers would cut Nick Stauskas and Wade Baldwin the fourth, a couple of brave soldiers. We followed their odyssey through. Jacob, do you have a sound we can play to send off Nick Stauskas and Wade Baldwin as they head into the great unknown of free agency?
You wait on that, please.
Got it. Is this deal of anything to note except for how ridiculous is the Wade Baldwin, Nick Stauskas just train ride? I don't know what you call it. It's kind of insane, but that's the kind of weird stuff that just happens on trade deadline day. I guess I hope they land somewhere where they can actually play and not get released constantly and traded.
What team was Nick Stauskas on
first? Goodbye, my life. Goodbye, my
Goodbye, Nick. Goodbye, Wade. You have been the one for me. God, I'd be sad. Is this copyright? Goodbye, my friend. You have been the one. You have been the one for me. So it touched my heart and sucked my soul.
Goodbye, Nick. You will be missed in your,
send him
in
off.
Your 39 minutes here.
He had that really good game to start the year, didn't he? Wasn't he supposed to be like real good because he like scored 48 million points in the first game of
wasn't
the year
that
against
the
LeBron? I don't know. I don't remember it that
he
well.
He had some
it
good
was
games
so long
where
ago.
He shot threes really well. Oh, yes.
All right, moving on.
That's why they call
we had an now. Actual big trade here, too.
Whoa.
Bigger
no way.
Than...
No.
What?
No, I'm just...
Oh.
Woj bomb!
I mean, Woj was dropping bombs all day. Shams got to pick up his game because Woj was beating him to everything.
Yeah. Whoa, Shams has got to pick up his game because here's another one. Oh, my goodness. It's a Woj bomb!
Anyway, this Woj bomb got me in trouble for having my phone out during class. But the Grizzlies traded...
Your teachers should know it's the trade deadline day and let you have your phone.
I mean, honestly, they should know what's up.
Yeah.
But the Grizzlies traded Pau Gasol. The Grizzlies traded Mark Gasol. Now they've officially traded both Gasol brothers. So good on them. That's the closest they've got to a title in a while. Mm-hmm. Mark Gasol goes to the North.
I am so happy for Mark Gasol.
Marc Gasol gets out,
joking, no.
goes to the Toronto Raptors, and in return, the Memphis Grizzlies receive Jonas Valanciunas, DeLon Wright, CJ Miles, and a 2024 second-round pick. That's what I like to see. What's Marc Gasol's fit in Toronto? Is he just better Valanciunas, or is there some things that he can do that...
Oh, he is better Valanciunas, baby. I'm excited to see what the Raptors do. I really wanted the Valanciunas-Lowry for Mike Conley and Gasol trade to go through, but obviously the Grizzlies declined that. They weren't happy. Let me just give a quick shout-out to the Raptors. GM Masai Ujiri, great, great acquisition. This is an amazing trade. Why I think this is because they maintain their young core. They maintain their deep bench while also gaining Marc Gasol, who will be a great veteran presence. I mean, guys, Marc Gasol might not even start.
Who's starting over him? Ibaka.
Serge Ibaka and Pascal Siakam might maintain starting lineup, and he might come off the bench, at least to start.
Yeah,
probably.
That's kind of crazy.
It'll be weird to see
their
him
bench,
in another uniform.
Their bench got better. They traded guys who honestly don't take up that much of their minutes share.
Yeah.
CJ Miles takes like 11. That's not much. They have guys who play way more on their bench than that. And they maintain their bench. Their back five are still very strong. I'm very scared for teams who play this team. Wow, that was a terrible sentence. I'm very scared
that
for anyone.
That was a terrible sentence.
I'm very scared for anyone who encounters the Raptors
that,
in the playoffs.
That wasn't bad, but the worst part was when you said that was terrible
or
sentence.
In the next week. Or in the next week after that. Or in the next week after that.
Does this make the does this make the Raptors your favorite in the East?
In the forthcoming weeks, teams should be very appraised to face the Toronto Raptors.
He's just showing off that he knows English.
But yeah, as your point, Joe, do you think they'll win?
Do I think they'll win the East?
Yeah.
No.
You think the Sixers will win?
Yeah.
Nah. Save that. Okay, you know, you say it, but save it. Because at the end, I want to do a little kind of mid-season prediction deal.
Okay.
So we'll save that. We'll conclude by saying this was one of the major trades. And I guess I should go back to the Mirotić trade. I forgot to do this in the Mirotić trade because that one was a pretty big deal.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go around... Who won that deal
yep.
for Mirotić, Bucks or Pelicans? Jackson?
I'm going to say probably the Bucks.
Wow.
I thought you weren't listening.
My
I
G.
thought I was going to catch you.
Yeah, let's go, baby.
I mean, can we all just say Bucks, right?
Yeah.
Bucks. It's Bucks. All right.
Bucks.
Who
Bucks,
wins
Bucks,
this
Bucks,
deal?
Bucks, Bucks.
Grizzlies or Raptors?
Raptors. Definitely Raptors.
Yeah, Raptors got that one.
Raptors. You gonna sit there silently, or are you gonna tell us who won?
I'm just gonna look around. You guys know who I'm gonna say.
He's gonna say the Raptors.
America.
Ah, the beautiful.
You're strong.
America.
Even though Gasol went to Canada.
Oh, Canada.
I think we're just insulting the entire country right now.
I'm sorry if I messed up your national anthem.
Start saying R.J. Barrett.
Definitely messed up
R.J. Barrett,
Steve
son of
Nash.
Steve Nash. R.J. Barrett.
Andrew Wiggins. Steve Nash. Other people
Canada.
From Canada.
Maple
Robin Thicke and Robin Thicke Jr.
Maple Leafs are the best, and syrup is the best thing in the world. One of the main food groups. Yeah. Four players in the league. Justin Bieber can go back. We got the players here. Let's go. Raptors here.
Oh!
Guess who's also from Canada?
Drake.
Nick Stauskas.
Yeah! It's a perfect fit. Nick Stauskas to Raptors confirmed. All right.
Guys, I just dropped some fire bars.
That wasn't bad. I'm proud of you. All right.
Shout out to all my fans out there.
So it's...
Wait, I don't have many fans.
We're going to get into the other moves that Memphis made, because immediately after this, Memphis made two other trades, obviously more minor than Marc Gasol. The first one, they traded J. Michael Green and Garrett Temple to the Los Angeles Clippers, and in return received Avery Bradley. Anything to add about this?
Great move, Clippers. They freed up a lot of cap space with that.
All right. And then in the third deal, they traded Shelvin Mack to the Atlanta Hawks for Tyler Dorsey, and Shelvin Mack will be immediately released by the Hawks.
Yep. And Tyler Dorsey is underrated, and he's going to be a superstar.
Shelvin Mack is the second best Hawks player, best since Melo.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea?
Of what?
Why he's going to be an all-star?
Just have a gut feeling. I watched him play a couple times.
He's got decent potential.
In 2K, he's...
Because
you know how realistic 2K is.
It's the
I once lost a game where I could only score with Tyler Dorsey on the Hawks.
Really?
Yeah, to Jackson Layer.
All right. Getting into another young player swap, similar to the Thon Maker Stanley Johnson deal, obviously before the Pelicans got involved. The Kings and Trailblazers swapped a couple of big men. Caleb Swanigan goes to Sacramento, and Scal Labissiere goes down the other way to Portland.
But
isn't it Scal Labissiere?
Scal Labissiere, I think, right?
Is it
yeah.
Air or
Air? He's Haitian.
I think it's Air.
Okay, anyway. Well, Haitians speak French. But anyway, decent deal for both teams. Everyone gets a C for swapping out big men that needed to change the scenery.
Oh.
C for center.
C for center. Caleb Swanigan and Scal Labissiere are interesting prospects, honestly, for both teams. I think change of scenery is a correct description of it. They kind of don't have any spot, really. Caleb Swanigan's kind of been a bit in limbo for the Trailblazers, with Zach Collins being emerging as the more
Gonzaga.
Dominant. Okay, yes. But Zach Collins being the more
powerful.
And he's from Gonzaga.
So Caleb Swanigan's kind of been at power forward, sitting behind Al-Farouq Aminu and Zach Collins, so he's not getting a ton of time. And I think Scal Labissiere, they see as someone who could play more minutes right now and could be more developed. The Kings hadn't been playing him as much because he came off of injury, and they don't see a future for him. So it's a team taking someone they think has more potential and giving away someone they don't have use for, honestly.
All right, let's get into the other big trade that happened today.
Whoa.
Right in the middle of all this NBA trade deadline stuff, the MLB started to, you know, decide to get a little action in. So we had a pretty major baseball trade happen. JT Realmuto, probably the best hitting catcher in baseball right now, was traded from the Miami Marlins to the Philadelphia Phillies. And in return, the Marlins received Jorge Alfaro, a former top 100 prospect for the Phillies, who is a pretty decent young player who's going to grow. He was their catcher. Sixto Sanchez, who was the top prospect in the Phillies organization. Will Stewart, who's a decent pitcher, projects to be a back-end guy. In international bonus slot money. So, hey, JT Realmuto moved to a real team. The Phillies are going to get Bryce Harper. Mark my words. But that happened right in the middle, and that was that's a pretty big MLB deal.
Goodbye, my lover. Goodbye, my friend. Sorry.
Anything to add before I move to back to basketball?
There will never be a place.
No, I don't think so.
just something helpful to you guys, I guess.
What are you doing? Stop it.
Link.
Turn it off!
After this
I was so happy with you. We had a moment, we bonded, I beatboxed, you rapped, and then you ruined it.
Goodbye, my lover.
Anyway, decent goodbye, deal. The Miami lover. Marlins are a joke of a franchise and are clearly tanking. And if they do anything stupid and illegal, they're on the list for my will not say anymore list, you know? I'm going to boycott
honestly,
their name like
no
I boycotted the name of the
guys
Washington football team.
Not anymore, honestly.
Anyway, let's go back to the NBA because the Lakers and the Clippers pulled a little trade off. The Clippers get Michael
Anthony
Beasley.
Anthony Davis? Oh, tough.
The Clippers get Michael Beasley and Ivica Zubac. And the Lakers do not get Anthony Davis, but get the next best thing, Mike Muscala.
Wow, they honestly pulled off an insane trade here. Better player than Anthony Davis. Wow, just what a... Mike Muscala is going to be a great player.
I don't agree with getting rid of Ivica Zubac, because I think he showed some decent potential. But is it Zubac?
It's... No, it's not.
Zubac.
It's Zubac.
No way.
I'm pretty sure it's Zubac.
Joseph, look it up and see if I'm wrong. But I think the biggest thing
about
this...
I will play out of Google Translate.
I think the biggest thing that comes from this deal is not any player that went back and forth. It's the Lakers opening up a spot for a buyout candidate. We've all seen the Melo linked there. But after this, there's going to be lots of different candidates on the buyout market for that spot for the Lakers. But I think they did a good job to open one of those deals up.
Yeah. I think Jacob was right.
Ivica Zubac.
Ivica
Zubac.
Bats is like B-A-H-T-Z.
Yeah.
Bats.
Ivica Zubac.
But everyone in here calls him Ivica, but...
I call him Ivan Zubac.
I've been saying for years that Ivica Zubac is...
I don't know what I want to say. It's his time in L.A.
Shout out to The Office.
We sad to see him go. He had some stellar games in L.A.
He had one.
He had like four.
he had like five.
Yeah, he had like five.
So one.
Great pickup by the Clippers.
None of them were in the playoffs.
Good
so
pickup by the Clippers. Clippers are making some moves.
Clippers are going
to
make
the LA,
Clippers get a couple of one-year
LA,
contracts.
LA, honestly, you have to take into...
What did you say?
You have to take into consideration that Jackson is wearing a Dear Evan Hansen shirt, which I have no idea what that
hat.
Means.
It's a hat.
What are you talking about?
I think it's a play.
A Dear Evan... Oh, the play. Dear
you
Evan
have
Hansen.
To take into consideration that they're opening up an extra roster spot, too, with this trade.
Indeed.
That's what you have to think about here, that the Lakers may add somebody else. And by somebody else, I mean... Somebody else say the name for me?
Carmelo!
Yeah.
All right.
Are we supposed to get excited? Because
The second to last trade of
the
day.
For the open roster spot, they had Anthony.
Second to last trade of the day here. Markel Fultz gets a much needed change of scenery. And the Magic fill a giant hole at point guard, potentially. Philadelphia sent Markel Fultz down to Orlando. And in return, the 76ers get Jonathan Simmons, a decent bench player. And a first round pick from the Magic via the Thunder. And a second round pick from the Magic via the Cavs. Is this a good trade for both sides?
Yes and no. It's a big risk to get Markel Fultz, but I think the Grizzlies think they have confidence in their coaching staff to be able to work with Markel Fultz, whereas the Sixers don't have patience because they're in win-now mode, so Jonathan Simmons is the best pickup. I'd say the Sixers got a great pickup in this type of trade with Jonathan Simmons, but obviously the Sixers drafted him with the number one pick, and this is not a number one pick haul you would expect.
Well, it's because he's trash.
They get the second round pick and a first round, but the thing about the first round is it's top 20 protected from OKC, which this is just not going to be a great first round pick. They're trading a bad draft pick who
helps.
Is the number one draft pick. So they made a mistake here, obviously, or they think they have, for Jonathan Simmons. But the thing I would like to point out here is this is not as bad as a trade as people think. Jonathan Simmons is a pretty solid player.
Simmons is a
plays
solid
great
bench
defense
player.
And scores well, which the Sixers need at this point. The Sixers need this type of player. I'd say great move. I'm very impressed with Elton Brand and the moves he's made. He's not afraid to do this. But this is a low-cost, high-reward situation for the Orlando Magic.
It's a bad trade in the sense of they're getting rid of Markelle Fultz, who was the first pick overall, and as of now is clearly
a Elton Brand didn't draft Markelle Fultz.
If you're looking at what players have shown, and if you're looking at the Sixers trying to win it this year, Simmons is a good bench piece. That first-round pick is a late-20s pick. It could turn out to be something. And second-round picks are always a flyer, so... is Markelle Fultz a good fit in Orlando? Did the Magic make a good deal picking him up?
If he plays? Yeah, I think so.
He's better than any point guard they have on the roster.
Yeah.
And he's got more potential.
Oh, yeah, he plays.
They could have filled the hole.
He's just got it.
D.J. Augustine's a bench dude. I mean, he's not a starter.
Oh, he did start.
Yeah, he's a starter technically, but he's not a starting caliber player.
I think if Markelle Fultz can progress the way they hope he will, he will start.
I think that's the plan, obviously. The Magic have bought low in a player who could potentially be a star for their franchise if he figures out the shoulder issues and the shooting problems. And yeah, but to conclude with our last trade of the day, Toronto traded Greg Monroe and a second-round pick to Brooklyn, and Brooklyn immediately bought out Greg Monroe. So that happened.
And he's going back.
Me and Jay were just talking the other day about Greg Monroe.
Remember when Greg Monroe was supposed to be like... Wasn't Greg Monroe an all-star at one point?
Yeah, he was pretty close.
Like, he was supposed to be an all-star.
He was amazing for a while. And then he just, like... I don't know if he didn't get the minutes he wanted or...
He was in Detroit, and nothing good ever happened
to
Detroit.
He averaged 16 at his best. That was in 2012.
Only 16?
Yeah. But last year, he averaged 10, and he averaged 11. So it was, like, solid backup... big man if you needed it, but...
I mean, yeah. So, really, nothing of note from that deal. I mean, we just all know that Greg Monroe is doing nothing from them. So, then the trade deadline closed, and we have successfully walked you back through every trade that's happened since February 3rd. You're welcome. I hope it was as cinematic as I intended. This was the greatest movie I've ever listened to, I guess. I don't know. But, Let's break it down. Let's do some winners and losers. So we'll go around. I'll start with Jackson because he's been mostly silent for the most part. Jackson, who's a winner and loser for you at the trade deadline?
Winner, definitely the 76ers. Bringing in Tobias Harris and then getting collateral from Markelle Fultz. Finally, the best thing that Markelle Fultz has brought to this team, frankly, with getting some more draft picks out of a seemingly... meaningless career for Markelle so far, so good job on them. 76ers are definitely going to be rolling now with Tobias, and they're looking good at the draft. So, like, I'm literally seeing no weaknesses on the 76ers right now. We'll just see how the chemistry goes, and they're my biggest winners from this trade deadline for this year.
Who's your loser?
Loser? I'm going to have to go with Magic. I'm not sure how they're going to fit Markelle into their system. I don't know what they see. They're my biggest loser.
You don't like the acquisition.
I don't. Yeah.
Okay.
For the Magic, I don't like Markelle Fultz. I think he was overrated coming out of college, and his shot just really never panned out, especially after he got injured. So, I don't know. Magic are doing Magic things and taking chances on players that haven't shown what they have. Shown the potential that they were coming into the league with. So, good job, Magic. Another losing season awaits you.
Joe, who's your winner and loser?
My winner is the Clippers. Every single trade that they've been involved in these past couple of days, just kind of my initial reaction was always like, oh, yeah, that's solid. They acquired young pieces, a lot of picks. They're pretty much just set themselves up to be able to sign people and to be able to be a contender very, very soon. My loser is the Wizards. The Wizards gave up people like Otto Porter and Marquise Morris, and in return only got people like Wesley Johnson and maybe Bobby Portis. Like, for what they gave up, they didn't get much of a return. I'm not sure what they're doing right now. They could have a bigger plan, but for right now, they're my loser.
Alright. Jacob?
Are we doing loser, winner, loser at the trade, or are we doing biggest winner?
And like, biggest winner and loser at the trade deadline.
Yeah. Biggest winners are Toronto Raptors. They got a lot better by not giving up their core, their young core, or their bench. I think they have a great fit. Jonas Valanciunas is obviously good. Gasol has that player option for next year he could pick up, but Valanciunas also had his own worth a lot of money. Toronto needed to make this move, and I'd say they got a lot better by it. This also helps a little bit shape things up for the Raptors in terms of lineups. Might help them out, get better in general. And then I think the biggest loser in terms of this trade deadline is the Memphis Grizzlies. And why I say this is they had a better trade. And I know they're trying to rebuild, but they had a better trade before the deadline if they wanted to just unload their team and give a direction for the franchise. And Mike Conley is going to be worth less as the years progress. So now was the time to deal him. They didn't deal him. They dealed Marc Gasol for what type of return I deem not very great. I would rather have Kyle Lowry, Jonas Valanciunas, and have negotiated for that first round pick on top of it. Is a better return for the Grizzlies. I honestly think they could have just engineered a third trade too off of that or done something with that, rather than getting these resources, which don't mean a lot. They're role players. Some of them have two big contracts. They also trade away J. Michael Green and Garrett Temple for Avery Bradley, which makes absolutely zero sense. Avery Bradley's on way too big of a contract, and they're just going to sit there with him. So Grizzlies made bad moves and trade away J. Michael Green, who should have been part of their future.
All right. I guess I'll go to finish it off. My winner is the Milwaukee Bucks because they're the only real team that hasn't been named that I think we could consider a real winner at the trade deadline. They didn't give up a lot, and they managed to get a great player in Nikola Mirotic, who's going to help them down the run. He's going to be a solid bench player. He's got some playoff experience. He's definitely a big get for them. And
big deal.
They didn't give up a lot to get him, though I'm sure they would have liked to keep Thonmaker. That relationship had run its course. My big loser is Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis wanted out, and I think would have preferred to go to LA or one of the other teams on his list this year at the deadline. He obviously did not. He is still a Clipper. Or a Clipper. He is still a Pelican and will be for the rest of the year. He is going to play for the team they have announced. So I just don't think he wanted to be there, and the fact that he's still there is a testament to how the Lakers finally wisened up at the right time and realized we're bidding against ourselves. If you have followed the news from that deal was kind of a mess, and the Pelicans were in the process of completely swindling Magic Johnson. Mm-hmm. So AD's a loser, but I will say I think the Lakers made a smart deal not giving up their entire core for Anthony Davis. He'll be worth less than that in the end game, I think.
It'll be an awkward rest of the season.
It is going to be an awkward rest of the season down in New Orleans.
And in L.A.
Yeah.
So we've mentioned Anthony Davis and Mike Conley, a couple of players that didn't move. Was there anybody else that surprised you that they didn't get traded besides those two, really?
Bradley Beal. Definitely Bradley Beal for me. Just, like, not being able to... Like, the Wizards, definitely in a rebuilding phase with John Wall being injured. And now he's going to be out for another year, unfortunately. Hate to see a player go out like that, but the Wizards clearly need to reevaluate what they're trying to look for in a franchise. I think Bradley Beal and John Wall are, like, the first pieces that need to go if they want to do that and get some draft picks, get some fresh faces up in there. Clearly, the Wizards had no intention by doing that with Beal. They heard a few offers, but they didn't act on them, reports say, so kind of disappointed to see that Bradley Beal has not moved on because it's such a good player and like he just hasn't been, recognized for that with being on a team that can actually utilize his skills to the best of his abilities. And they were a playoff contender last year until John Wall had the injury issue. So, it's time for the Wizards to rebuild, and I think that the first step would have been trading Beal and then Wall next year when he got healthy. But neither here nor there.
What does that mean?
It means that I am done. I digress.
Anyone else have anything to add before we move on to our last little basketball topic? I guess the one thing I will say that the one thing I want to say that I didn't mention with my Anthony Davis thing is the fact that Anthony Davis did not move is a huge win for the Boston Celtics.
Oh, I'm staying with what my hot take is. I mean, if he didn't go to the Lakers and during the trade deadline, he's going to the Boston Celtics at
least.
The
Celtics would be dumb to do the trade that people say they have promised they would do.
Don't think they've promised to do anything.
That's the rumor. But I personally think the Celtics dangled that to get the Pelicans into the offseason, and they won't make that trade. But what they dangled was Tatum, Horford, Robert Williams, and three first-round picks
Jeez.
For him. Was a rumor. And also, they also dangled Marcus Smart in the conversation for that trade. That is, the Celtics should never do that. Makes absolutely zero sense.
If the Pelicans did that, that'd be nasty.
All right. Also, just before we move on, what I am seeing right now looking at Twitter, I want to confirm that the New York Knicks have officially waived Enes Kanter, which means he is bought out. He has been linked today to the Boston Celtics.
Oh, good. He can
Celtics.
Go back to Turkey.
No, that's the problem. Yeah, he's going to get sent back to Turkey.
The problem is he can't go back to Turkey.
He'll get assassinated.
He got linked today with the Boston Celtics. That would be a decent fit for him.
Nice.
And a
that's
pretty
scary.
Decent player for Boston to get who stood packed and did nothing of the trade deadline. Also, the Knicks waived Wesley Matthews, who has announced he is signing with the Indiana Pacers.
Which makes also zero sense.
Yeah.
I mean, there's definitely a fit for him.
They lost Oladipo.
Yeah, they did lose Oladipo, but I'd rather, you know, see something else.
Yeah, but it's not about what you'd rather do. It's about what Wesley Johnson would
I'd rather see Aaron Holiday for the rest of the season.
Would you rather have Wesley Johnson or Andre Roberson?
Are you kidding me?
Because Wesley Johnson.
You always say how much you hate Andre Roberson.
Andre Roberson sucks.
All right. So Andre Roberson is a solid player.
Yeah, that's not even a question. I am so sorry that question was even posed in this room.
All right.
Please no one speak to me about Andre Roberson. One of the most overrated persons in the NBA.
You hate him so much.
I do.
So to end the show.
He's a terrible player.
To end the show today, I'd like to do a very in-depth career discussion on Andre Roberson.
Yeah, let's talk about him. Wow, he's a really good defender. Ever seen him shoot?
I wonder what his defensive win shares are.
Yeah, I wonder what his defensive win share. What is his offensive win share? -5,000. Have we seen how they play defense on Wesley Johnson?
What? Oh, I missed a trade.
You did miss a trade.
The Celtics traded Jabari Bird to the Hawks for money.
Oh, yeah. Well,
or no, they traded Jabari Bird and money to the Hawks.
It's kind of interesting that...
And then Atlanta immediately waived Jabari Bird.
Ripped Jabari Bird.
Who hasn't played all season and is involved in a domestic violence incident.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
So, that happened.
Ripping the chat.
I would not say
ripping
the
chat.
It's a podcast.
I do want to do one thing before we do what time it is. I want you guys to look at the standings, and after the trade deadline, most rosters will be standing fairly pat, except for a few free agent signings in the buyout market. I want you guys to look at the standings and pick your top eight who you think is going to make the playoffs from each. I can read my list out now because I have that assembled. In the East, I think the season will end with Milwaukee in the one seed. Toronto is the two. Boston at three. The Sixers at four. I think that their core is going to be good, but I think it's going to take some time for it to work. Indiana is going to stay pat at five. They've played much better since Oladipo's injury than I thought they would. The Brooklyn Nets are chilling at six. Charlotte Hornets at seven. And the Detroit Pistons are going to squeak into that last spot in the playoffs, the eight seed. In the West, who else on top but Golden State? I think the Denver Nuggets. No, you know what? No. I think the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to get the two seed. I think the Nuggets are going to cool off a little bit, but they're still going to get three. Houston Rockets will be at the four. Portland Trailblazers at the five. Then the Jazz, the Lakers, because I'm never going to bet against LeBron, and the Sacramento Kings are going to get the eight seed.
All right, I'll go next. That was saucy. I'm gonna go with.
Go through this all together.
So I'm gonna go with the East first. Actually, no, I'm gonna switch it around. I'm gonna go with the West first. Definitely the Warriors first seed.
I want to say.
I'm gonna say Houston jumps up and takes the 2 seed. Denver 3rd, Oklahoma City 4th, Portland Trailblazers 5. I think Utah takes 6, Lakers takes 7, and New Orleans takes 8. I think Anthony Davis is going to fight for his right, and he's going to play like he always does, and then he's going to carry his team. And then we're going to go with, in the East, we're going to go Milwaukee 1st, Toronto 2nd. It's going to be close, though. Boston 3rd, Philly 4th. Yeah, Hornets 5, Brooklyn 6, Heat 7, and then as a little, oh my gosh. Yeah, I guess I'll go Pistons. This is such a weak division.
Did you have the Pacers in it? I missed it if you did. Did you have the Pacers in it?
No, they'll take 8. I think Pacers are going to fall a little bit.
Okay.
Without Oladipo.
Yeah.
Joe?
Mine's pretty controversial, to be honest.
Okay, go for it.
Well, to me it is. Starting with the Western Conference, I have Golden State standing.
How dare you?
What? No! Shocking.
So controversial, Joe.
Blew my mind.
Hot take alert. Sorry, continue.
And then Denver's staying at number 2. And then I have Houston coming up to number 3. Portland at number 4.
Ooh.
Utah at number 5.
Oh!
And then I'm going to have Lakers at number 6.
Ooh.
Beware of the Thunder. Beware of the Thunder, Joe.
You know what? Let's switch some things
up. Immediately backtracks to make it less controversial.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, yeah, Golden State, Denver, Thunder. Houston, Portland, and then Oklahoma. All
right, there we go.
And then LA. And then I think Utah.
Who takes 8?
And then.
Who takes 8? Who takes 8?
Kings.
Who takes
8?
Kings
will take
8. Kings! All right. East. Jacob? Oh, wait, no, you have your East. My bad.
You gotta do the East. Come on, Logan.
Okay, East, I have Milwaukee stand number 1, but then I think Sixers are gonna jump up and take number 2.
Alright.
And then I have Raptors at 3.
Jump up.
Celtics at 4. Pacers at 5. And then Brooklyn at 6. I think the Wizards are going to come up and go to 7. And then I
dang. What?
It's a hot take.
You think they're going to make the playoffs?
I think they will.
It's the most controversial thing I've ever heard.
I know.
I know.
And then, yeah, the Pistons at 8.
Jeez.
All right, Jacob.
It is.
Oh, the East sucks.
I just got really
uncomfortable. Why are you doing these things that you
hot want? Takes incoming for the NBA standings. Notice. Find cover immediately.
Warriors
cover
don't
your
make
heads.
The playoffs.
Warriors don't. That set my heart racing for a hot minute. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I was like, ugh.
Yeah, I'm kind of terrified.
That's my alarm in the morning.
I thought the Coast Guard would come in.
Number 1 in the Western Conference will be the Golden State Warriors.
Okay.
Number 2 will be the Portland Trailblazers.
Whoa.
Number 3 will be the Houston Rockets.
Okay.
Who's? I wonder who the 7 seed that's going to be. The
Number 4 will be the Oklahoma City Thunder. Number 5 will be the Denver Nuggets.
Okay.
Damn.
That's,
number
that's push-ups.
6
you can do them after the show.
Will be the Sacramento Kings. Number 7... will be the Utah Jazz. And number 8 will be the Los Angeles Lakers.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow.
Not the Timberwolves, really.
Wow.
And the Spurs, I have the Spurs and the Clippers dropping out of the playoffs.
I had the Spurs dropping out too. Same. And honestly, now I kind of want to switch them with Sacramento.
Number 1 in the Eastern Conference. It's no discussion. It won't even be close. The Milwaukee Bucks will win the Eastern Conference.
I think it'll be close.
The Toronto Raptors will take 2nd in the Eastern Conference. This is really not a hard conference to do. Number 3 will be the 76ers. Number 4 will be the Boston Celtics. Number 5 will be the Brooklyn Nets. Number six will be the Charlotte Hornets. You got something to say, Jackson? Number seven will be the Detroit Pistons. Okay. And number eight will be the Indiana Pacers.
Okay. I think y'all are doing the Pacers dirty. I think even with the injuries to Oladipo.
Aaron Holiday will keep the Pacers in the playoffs.
I think the Pacers are still better than teams like the Hornets and the Pistons.
The Hornets are not bad, bro. I'm not saying
they're bad. I'm just saying the Pistons are better than them.
Also, I would have loved to see that Hornets trade for Marc Gasol. Oh, jeez.
It was rumored, and it was also rumored that they wanted to get rid of Frank the Tank Kaminsky, but nothing clearly happened there. They should have
never done that.
So, we're done with all of our trade stuff. We've projected the NBA season, so I think we all know what time it is.
Yeah! Cone's Corner, baby, welcome.
It's Cone's Corner.
And in the spirit of today, we are going to play Fortnite.
No. Please stop. Fortnite is a cancer upon this earth.
Okay. We are not going to play Fortnite, what we are going to do is go through some of the worst trades in NBA history. And at the end, I'm going to ask you which one you think is the worst out of all of them.
I like this. I like this.
So let's go. February 23rd of 2017, the Chicago Bulls decided it was time to blow up their big three of Taj Gibson, Joakim Noah, and Derrick Rose. Yep. They traded Taj Gibson, Doug McDermott, and a second-round pick to Oklahoma City for Anthony Morrow, Joffrey Laverne, and Cameron Payne. I'm sorry, but that trade is not very good. Anthony Morrow and Joffrey Laverne were immediately leaving the year later, and Cameron Payne has done nothing but sit on the bench.
And then get cut.
Orlando trades the rights on June 6, 2014 to Dario Saric, a 2015 second-round pick, and a 2017 first-round pick to Philadelphia for the rights to Elfrid Payton. We all know what happened with Elfrid Payton in Orlando. That's not been a great relationship.
Well, because it no longer exists.
On November 3rd, 2008, Detroit traded Chauncey Billups, Antonio McDyess, and Chuck Sam to Denver for Allen Iverson.
I'm sorry, who?
Yeah, that was bad.
Chuck Sam?
Yes.
Chuck Sam. Spell Chuck.
C-H-A-C-K.
C-H-E-I-K-H space Sam.
That's my Cheek? Middle name.
Yeah.
Chuck? I don't know. That's a whack name, though. That's a whack Sam kind of name.
July 10th, 2015. Sacramento trades Carl Landry, Nick Skauskas, Jason Thompson, first-round swap rights in 2016 and 17, and a future first-round pick to Philadelphia for the rights to Arturas Gaudatis and Luka Mitrovic. I have a question. Have you guys ever heard of those two players?
No.
Well, I'm pretty sure I've heard of Luka Mitrovic, but I'm pretty sure he's also a... player in like the Premier League or something. So
he's a foreign player and he's never come to the NBA.
I know, but I mean like he's a soccer player.
So Sacramento traded all that for nothing. LA Clippers trade Baron Davis and a 2011 first round pick on February 24th, 2011 to Cleveland for Jamario Moon and Mo Williams.
Was that during Davis's prime?
It's the Cavs or the Clippers traded him.
Oh, okay.
And then our fifth, March 15, 2012, the New Jersey Nets traded Mehmet Okur, Sean Williams, and a 2012 first-round pick to Portland for Gerald Wallace ended up being a staple player on the Brooklyn Nets team that was practically just the Boston Celtics old team.
And then
here is the trade I was speaking of.
Hold on.
On July 12, 2013, I'm doing the trade.
I'm gonna ask Bogans,
Marshawn Brooks, Chris Humphries, Chris Joseph, Gerald Wallace, and the 2014, 2016, 2017, 2018 first round picks to Boston for the old Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, DJ White, and 2017 second round pick. What's the question?
Did you not mention that the fact that that first round pick that the Nets traded became Damian Lillard?
No.
Well, that first-round pick that the Nets traded became Damian Lillard.
Well, that's tough. That's even worse.
You want us
trade.
To pick out of those which ones are the worst?
And then the last one I have is New York trades Marcus Camby, Steve Novak, Quentin Richardson, and a first-round pick in 2016 and 2014, and a second-round pick 2017, on July 10, 2013, for Andre Bargnani.
Andrea Bargnani.
Who was a first pick in the draft, I believe, at one point. Okay, I would like you to pick which one is the worst.
Easily.
I think
Boston sending everything to Brooklyn.
You mean Brooklyn sending everything to Boston?
Yeah, well, the one where Brooklyn got...
It went both ways. Yeah. Both sent everything, but yeah. They sent players for picks.
Yeah, the one where Brooklyn got...
MP and if we want to talk about that, it ended up practically being them playing on a terrible Brooklyn Nets team and deciding to retire.
They made the playoffs, though.
They did.
Yeah.
I'm hurt that you left out the Isaiah Thomas trade. Isaiah Thomas from the Suns to the Celtics trade, and some of those older trades.
Like Kobe Bryant.
Like how Moses Malone got traded for money and then became one of the greatest big men in NBA history.
Or Jimmy Butler.
Or the Jimmy Butler trade. With that, I'd like to end you with a funny joke. It has become a staple on Crone's Corner.
Depressingly, it's become a staple.
To talk about, you know, funny circumstances, stories, and jokes that have come up, you know. So I think it's a great idea for us to end this one in tradition with a story.
Do it.
Excuse you.
Here's a story. So a couple of years I moved out of state with a boyfriend. I was super excited about it, but with the reason I had anxiety about being so far from friends and family.
And because she's afraid of
one
boys.
Of the ways my anxiety was coming out was with nightmares and night terrors. I'd wake up violently sitting up in a cold sweat, gasping and whatnot. On one particular night, I'd woken up to the sound of our doorbell ringing, which at 4 in the morning is nerve-wracking. So I shook my boyfriend fully awake and told him I heard the doorbell and to go check it because I was scared. He quickly jumps up, puts on his clothes, grabs a bag, goes all the way to the front door and opens it. And I, peeking around the corner, watched it all go down. I see him step outside and I nervously wait the verdict of the situation. When I hear him call out, babe, and I respond shakily, yes. He stands in the doorway, looks at me with a real frustrated, tired look in his eyes and says, we don't have a freaking doorbell.
What? How's that a joke?
Oh my gosh, that is embarrassing.
It's because she had night terrors. Isn't that hilarious?
Yeah, was it like a part of a dream? I don't understand.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, anyways,
she
guys.
She woke up and she didn't have a boyfriend. Ooh, spooky.
What?
Okay, that is disgusting.
Why is it disgusting?
I don't understand the punch.
You don't understand the punch. They didn't have a freaking doorbell and she heard the doorbell.
That's more
funny.
Creepy than anything.
It was scary.
Yeah, okay, cool. Jeez. I speak without a mouth and I hear without ears. I have no body, but I come alive with wind. What am I?
Skip Bayless.
Skew.
What am I?
Skew.
What
hear without ears and you speak without a mouth?
I speak without a mouth and hear without ears. I have no body, but I come alive with wind.
Ocean.
What am I?
Water.
What comes
alive? Well, I guess that was
make more wind sound effect.
It's got to be with wind or waves. Or
well, guys, this is a very hard riddle.
Like
that's why they called me the Riddler back in the day.
No one has ever called you that one time.
They did, actually.
Who is they?
University of St. Thomas basketball camp. They called me the Riddler. Yes, they did. I still have it on a little card. They said the Riddler.
My nickname was the Governor because I asked too
many questions. Hey, the Governor.
Okay.
The Governor and the Riddler. Would you like a cup of tea? All right, don't touch my phone. I mean the microphone. The microphone.
The
microphone.
The tiny phone.
It's an echo, guys. It's an echo.
Okay, I'm really.
Oh.
Are you ready, hungry? Thank you for watching.
Listening.
Thank you for listening.
Get
absolutely high. Necessary.
Have a great day. Have a better day.
Let us know
have
your
a great day.
Trade.
Have a better day tomorrow, and have an even better day the next day. Be positive.
Peace out, as they say in Toronto.